Last Sunday afternoon, remember, we were looking at the role that God has in prayer, and then the Lord Jesus Christ, knowing God as our Father, and the personal relationship and the special time of prayer that we have talking to our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ instructing us that if we ask anything in His name, He will do it, and what it meant to ask in His name. Now tonight, this afternoon, I want us to look at Romans chapter 8, verses 26 through 29. Romans 8, 26 through 29. As we study this evening the role of the Holy Spirit in prayer, this is a passage of Scripture that is familiar to all of us. But more in particular, it's verse 28 that's the familiar verse. For we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. When you put that verse in the context in which God has placed it, it is a powerful verse concerning prayer. And so, let's pray before we study this passage and the role of the Holy Spirit. Shall we pray? Lord, again, we just express our love to You. And as we come to study Your Word, and I pray that You'll keep the evil one from us, help us to remain alert mentally and spiritually and physically. Lord, I pray that You would, by Your Holy Spirit, give us understanding of this passage of Scripture concerning prayer, the role of the Holy Spirit, where we, as Your children, would be encouraged in our time of praying to You, knowing that You hear us and that You will answer us. For this I ask in Jesus' name, amen. In Romans chapter 8, beginning in verse 26, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And He who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to His purpose. For those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, in order that He might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom He predestined, He also called. Those whom He called, He also justified. And those whom He justified, He also glorified. Well, let's look at verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. Now, this is very important. First of all, we must realize that it's the Holy Spirit who helps us, which means that as you and I walk with the Lord on a daily basis, we do not want to quench or grieve the Holy Spirit. Quenching and grieving the Holy Spirit would cause us to be weak in our walk with the Lord, and the fact that the Holy Spirit would help us, that's due to sin in our lives. And so we don't want that. We have the Spirit of God in us. We want the Spirit of God to work in us in a powerful way. And you say, how in the world can I, as a human being, slow down the Holy Spirit? Well, if you and I hold sin in our heart, in Psalm 66:18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, He will not hear me. And it's the Holy Spirit that's going to help and in our prayers to communicate to the Father through the Son. I want God hearing me. You want God hearing you. So we strive to keep our hearts and our lives with the Holy Spirit according to our understanding of Scripture and our walk with the Lord as strong as we possibly can. Now, we need to look at the word help here. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. I really like this verb here because it means to grab a hold of. Grab a hold of. You know, when we're around and somebody might stumble, and what do? Well, there's one of two things. You're going to step aside and watch them hit the ground. Or the natural tendency is to automatically reach out and grab. The word help means to reach out and grab hold of. We have this promise that the Holy Spirit reaches down or from within, because the Holy Spirit's living in us. The Holy Spirit grabs us in our weaknesses to help us. The other meaning of the word help is to come to the aid of. To come to the aid of. I'm there and the Holy Spirit's there not to cause harm, not to cause us to be weak, but to enable us to be strong. And in the context here, it's to be strong in prayer. Have any of us ever just wanted to give up praying because we thought, what's the use? God's not listening to me. And we've probably all been there at one time or another. And that's because we're just trying to do it in the flesh. We're trying to pray in the flesh. We're trying to do everything in the flesh. When the Spirit of God is dwelling in every believer, and the role of the Spirit of God in prayer is to reach out or reach inside and get us and hold us up and then come to our aid and saying, don't give up. Persevere. Keep going. Now, it helps us in our weaknesses. So weaknesses here means human limitations due to our sinfulness. Human limitations due to our sinfulness. How many in here worry? Well, there are three of them that's saying it's truthful, you know. We all worry. Well, I got to help God. He can't sin because He's holy. So somebody's got to do this. We all have a tendency to worry. And usually our worrying is a result of we want to be in control. And right now I'm not in control of this situation in my life. And I don't like it. What am I going to do about it? And that's a phrase that's really dangerous for you and me. What am I going to do about it? When what I really should say is, Lord, I don't know about this. This doesn't look good. It's scaring me. I'm confused. Whatever. Lord, help me. You and I, as believers in Christ, need to know our limitations, our weaknesses. We need to be able to admit to ourselves and to the Lord, I don't think I can do this. I don't think I can go another step. Or I'm done. I am done. I'm out of here. I've had it. That's our weaknesses due to our sinfulness. And when we get in that kind of a mindset, it can be very detrimental to us and to our families and to the church family. And when we get into that kind of a mindset, we need to split the brakes off and we need to admit, okay, I Lord, help me here. I'm at the end of my rope. I really am done. Help me, because I don't have the ability to go anymore. In fact, I don't want to go anymore. That's our weaknesses, and it's a sinfulness in our own hearts. And the Holy Spirit's there is to help us, to grab hold of us inside and to encourage us, no, you don't give up. I'm with you. You're going to be fine. Keep following me. Keep walking with me. Now, let's go to the next line. So, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. For we do not know what to pray for as we ought. We look at the word pray. It's the general word for prayer. It's talking to God for help. It's making a request to God for help. And this is something you and I really need to be aware of and to pray for. God, help me. Please help me. We're good at asking for God for everything but help at times. Give me this, give me that, do this, do that, work this out, work that out. But what about just saying, God, I need your help and I want your help. Please, please give it to me. That's the word prayer in this sentence. We do not know how to pray for as we ought. The next word we need to look at in there is the word ought. It's an interesting word. In the English language, what do you mean when you use the word ought? It's usually I should do it, but I'm not. Well, it's right opposite in the Greek. It means it is necessary. It is necessary for me to pray. It is necessary for me to ask God. In fact, it is necessary for me to depend on God, especially when I have no control, when there's nothing I can do. And I'm up against this wall. Help me, Lord. Help me. When we cry out for help to God, we're admitting, I can't do it. I need your help. And I'm calling on you for it. So it's necessary to pray. But we do not know how to pray as we ought. The verb to know there is oida, not gnosko. Deep inside, we know better. We know better. And we should realize this when we get in this necessary thing. And so we sometimes have difficulty praying in any given situation because what we need to pray for is not real clear. Y'all ever been in the situation that you were in and you just really didn't know how to pray for it to work out, or you weren't real sure how you wanted God to work, and so it's not clear? I want to pray. I know I'm supposed to pray, but I don't know how to ask God to work this out. And so when we're in that kind of a mindset of confusion and uncertainty, the best thing to do is, Lord, your will be done, not my will. And you walk me through this by your Holy Spirit in a way that you want me to go through this. You teach me what you want me to learn in this particular situation. I'm not real sure how you're working. I'm not real sure why you're working and the way you're working. After all, this is where the sovereignty of God really comes in. God is sovereign in all areas of life, even in the one I don't understand, and I'm having trouble trusting God in it, and I know better, so I'm going to cry out to Him. Lord, help me walk through this. Teach me, strengthen me, show me what you want me to be and to do in this situation. So this is the role of the Holy Spirit. We don't know how we should pray. All we know is we're supposed to pray, and I want to pray. Desire is there. I just don't know how to express it and how I want it to go. Now, let's keep going here. For we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. Now there are those who believe that these groanings are our groanings. But when you read this passage very carefully, it doesn't say that. Look at that phrase. It says, but the Spirit Himself. That's emphatic. So the Spirit Himself intercedes for us. So when you and I are in that confused state of mind and we don't know how to pray, the Spirit prays on our behalf. He personally, that's that pronoun Himself, is not only emphatic, but it shows us the Spirit is saying, I'm in control. I've got it. Listen to me. Follow what I'm telling you to do, how I'm leading you. You must follow me. It's very important. When a pilot is being trained to fly by instruments, it's the most challenging thing they can do because you've got to look at that instrument panel and the horizon instrument, the altimeter, your speed. You've got to depend that those instruments are right because you can't look out and see. And they put them in a trainer and they block out. They can't see anything. And they have to depend on the instruments. And they have to trust that that instrument is correct. And they learn to fly that way. You and I learn to pray that way. The Spirit of God is interceding. Is the word to intercede means to plead on our behalf. And the Spirit of God is in us. And we trust God the Father. We trust God the Son. And we trust God the Spirit. And so we can trust Him that I might not see the end. I might not know which way we're going. But the Spirit of God is reassuring me that I am on the right path. And if I keep following Him as I know Him in my heart, I'm going to be all right. And so this is what the Holy Spirit is doing here when we see that the Holy Spirit is Himself is interceding for us with groanings. There's another thing I need to point out about the word intercede. It's in the present tense, which means He's always interceding for us. He's interceding for us when we don't know it. He's interceding for us when we don't have a clue we need that intercession. Because He's omniscient. He's God the Spirit. And so He's interceding for us all the time. With groanings. Groanings here are expressions of a profound spiritual experience. It's a deep spiritual time of prayer. I know there have been times in my life, and possibly times in your life, when you were so overwhelmed that maybe all you could do is grunt and groan. Maybe all you could say was, oh, Lord, oh, help me. I don't know. That's profound for us. And the Holy Spirit takes that and communicates that through the Son to the Father, even in a deeper, profound way than you and I could ever imagine. Maybe you've been praying silently. Again, in a situation where you're just overwhelmed. Or, on the other hand, in a situation where you're so excited that God has blessed you in such a way that to say thank you just doesn't seem to be enough, and you're wanting to rejoice and shout, but we're frozen, chosen, and we can't move, and I don't know what to do. But those inner desires of the heart are real and deep. We just can't put words on it. And the Spirit of God takes that and communicates that in a profound spiritual way to the Father. And so the Father understands, because of the interceding by the Holy Spirit, understands our heart's desire to praise Him, to thank Him, to ask for things, for His direction in our lives. And we know that His ear is open to us and He's going to act. And so this is what we have here with this groaning, this profound spiritual expression for us. He does it on our behalf. Not everybody. This refers only to those who trust in Christ alone for their salvation. He intercedes in this deep, powerful way. So we should never give up in our prayers. We should never have the attitude, oh, well, he'll listen to me anyway. Why should I pray? No, don't ever do that. Don't ever do that. Always pray. Always be in prayer, because the Holy Spirit intercedes for us, for you personally. And notice also, as He intercedes for us, look at the last phrase in verse 26. He intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. I can't express it. But the Holy Spirit understands and takes these inabilities for us to express, so we express the best way we can, and the Holy Spirit takes that to a level that we can't go because of our limitations as a human being and the sinfulness in our own lives. And we know that God hears us. We know that God hears us. Now, let's keep on going in the verse 27. Then we see how powerful the Holy Spirit is in interceding for us. And He who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. He who searches hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is. The Holy Spirit searches the heart. He knows our mind. He knows our thoughts. He also knows what the will of God is for each of us in this situation. And since He knows our hearts, and since He searches our hearts, and because He's going to work this out according to the will of God, that's where the peace in praying comes in for you and me. Because we know the Holy Spirit's interceding. We know the Holy Spirit is searching our hearts and understands us. We know the Holy Spirit is going to work out the will of God, and that's going to be the best for us. That equals peace. That equals peace. Because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Not according to our will. We are free to ask God. But as we ask God to do something, to intercede, to take care of, we have to be willing to pray like Jesus did in the Garden of Gethsemane. When He cried out, "Father, if it be Your will, take this cup from Me. Nevertheless, not My will, but Your will be done." You know, I don't know if I pointed this out last week, but in that passage in Mark, when Jesus is there praying and He calls out, "Father," you know what the word He used was? Abba. Abba. Father. If it be Your will, please let this cup pass from Me. This is the human side of Christ. He knows what it is to face something that's overwhelming. But in His humanity, He submits to the will of the Father. "Nevertheless, not My will, but Your will be done." Brothers and sisters, this is crucial also in prayer. Am I willing to accept the will of God as opposed to my own will. Knowing, verse 28 is coming up. Am I willing to do that? And when I say, Father, all this I ask according to your will, do we mean it? Do we mean it? Only you can answer that question. Only I can answer it for myself. But am I willing to genuinely submit to the will of God in that prayer? Because it's the Holy Spirit that's going to intercede for you and me according to the will of God. Now, look at the result of a prayer like this. Look at the result of a prayer when we pray according to 26 and 27. This is the hope that we have. And we know that for those who love God, and that's that phrase in there, for those who love God, is for those who are loving God. It doesn't mean we love Him once a week and that's on Sunday morning worship. It's a daily love, a daily walk with God. We know that those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to His purpose. His purpose, not mine, not yours. I've got to submit to His will. I've got to accept His purpose for me in my life. I have to accept God's purpose for this church, not my purpose, not what I want this church to be. And God has to have taught me a lot of tough lessons over the years to submit to His will for this church and not what I wanted to see happen. Thank the Lord, His will has worked out. It's a lot better than what I wanted to do. But I've got to do that in my life as well. You've got to do it in your life. Whatever God works out, whatever purpose, according to verse 28, whatever purpose that He works out for Him, then that means that's good for me. That is good for me. And then we go to verse 29. For those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son. Those He foreknew, back in Ephesians 1, we were chosen in Him before the foundation of the world. Knowing that we were chosen in Him, all things work together for good. And what is that good in verse 29? To be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. To have a biblical world and life view. Please don't have a Christian world and life view. It's all centered on the human being. It's all centered on the Christian. You want a biblical world and life view. And a biblical world and life view, we're coming to a view of life from Scripture and who God is and God's purpose for our lives and wanting to do His will and submitting to it. And so He is determined before the foundation of the world, when He has chosen each of us, He also determined that He was going to conform you and me to the image of Christ. And whatever God needs to do in our lives to conform us to Christ, He's going to do it. And so as you and I walk through our lives on a daily basis, whatever God brings in our way, He's going to use it to conform us to Christ. And it's going to be for our good. Now, let's just mention a couple of names out of the Old Testament. How about old Joseph? Look how his brothers treated him. And look where he ended up and how God used him. What about Job? Anybody want to be in the sandals of Job? Devastating. Hard. But what did Job learn? How much God loved him and the sovereignty of God in his life. And it was a tough lesson for him. This is This is the way you and I need to view life and prayer. How do I do this? Doggone, how do I do this? Turn to Psalm 37. Over the last 2.5 years, I have lived in Psalm 37. I want you to turn to Psalm 37. It's about not fretting over those who do evil. And I want to share with you some verses out of here that God has used to sustain me and my family. Look at verse 5. Commit your way to the Lord. That's the first step. You and I have made the commitment to Christ. He is our Savior. But we've got to make that commitment every day that we're going to walk with Him regardless. Whatever's in my life, whatever's come in my way, I'm not going to let it cause me to turn away from the Lord or doubt Him. The next thing is trust in Him. Have confidence in Him and who He is and what He's doing. Look at the next phrase in verse 5. And He will act. He will act. We have to wait, but He will act. Now look at verse 7. Be still before the Lord. Oh, man. Be still before the Lord means to be calm on the inside. Calm down. That's what he's saying. Calm down on the inside. Just calm down. Spiritually, mentally, emotionally, and physically. It's going to be all right. Be calm. And look at the next phrase. Wait on the Lord. The word wait on the Lord here actually means wait and watch Him act. Wait and watch what He's going to do. When you and I pray, according to Romans 8, 26 and 27, and we practice these verses in Psalm 37, you put that together, are you going to have a peace of heart and mind which surpasses all understanding? You're going to walk closer to God. You're going to have a deeper trust and confidence in God. And it's going to be trying. I mean, we're humans. We have our weaknesses, our limitations. We want it now, and we want it this way. And sometimes God says, mm-mm. I'm going to work it this way, and it's going to take a day or two. But He's going to work. But if you and I wait patiently, if we watch Him work in us first and foremost, and then we watch Him work in others, we'll see Him working. Which puts us back to Romans 8, realizing that the Holy Spirit has interceded for us. It works. I bear personal testimony to each and every one of you. It's worked for me personally. It's worked for my family. And it's worked for this church as a whole. Walk in this way. Think about the role of the Holy Spirit in your prayer life. And it will bless you beyond what you would ever believe or think. It works. It's a discipline. It's a discipline. And you're doing it. Sometimes it's a little more challenging than others. I'll grant you that. But we've all walked the path, and we've all seen God work. And here we are today as a testimony of how God has worked in every one of us. Don't stop. Don't stop praying. God's ear is open to your cry. Shall we pray? Father in heaven, thank you for the lesson you've given us this evening on the role of the Holy Spirit in our prayers. Oh, how encouraging this is, that we are weak and we're frail, but the Spirit of God is strong and present and intercedes for us with groanings beyond our ability to understand. And He searches our hearts and He acts according to Your will in our lives. Oh, Father, thank You for what You've taught us and how You've encouraged us from Your Word by Your Spirit this afternoon. May we continue to be Your children, strong in prayer with confidence in You. And this I ask in Jesus' name. Amen.